Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Time now for The Drive with Mark Ennis on 93.9 The Ville. The Drive is brought to you by Fitness Market, Louisville's premier location for fitness equipment and in-home saunas. Online at thefitnessmarket.com. Now here's Mark Ennis and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome into The Drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis, what remains of Jeff Lightsey Jr. after sweating to death out at Rondale Moore's camp today? It's that time of year.
Yes.
You test people's mettle and their level of commitment to this sort of thing when you have them out at a camp in the middle of all of this. How was it?
It was great, actually. It was out at New Albany High School. Rondale Moore, Stephen Heron, former Louisville defensive end, was there as well. Him and Rondale, of course, went to New Albany for a bit and before going over to Trinity. It was nice, man. They had a bunch of kiddos out there, ton of food. They had Kona ice to keep them cool, water, everything, all kinds of stuff, plenty. And then they had, like, a bunch of food, like, left over. They were giving people whole boxes of pizzas they were leaving because it's like, hey, like, make sure, like, we got to get rid of it. And Rondale, he's, like, the nicest professional athlete I maybe have ever met, like, easily. Like, I don't know. I met quite a few. And I think it's also because he's, like, normal size, too. Like, that makes it, like...
He's had to be humble?
Yeah, like, I don't know. like for him, he's,
I wasn't,
like,
ready for that.
Yeah, he's, like, normal size, and he's super, super nice. Like, I think somebody said, like, one of the adults said a curse word, and he kind of looked at him like, hey, man, what you doing? Like, what's going on? Like, I don't know. This dude is, like, super nice. I don't know. And then he took a couple minutes out to speak to me after signing every single autograph. Like, nah, dude's pretty cool. Shout out to Rondale Moore. First time I ever met him. He's nice.
He's us. Look, I've met him a couple times, and everything I've ever heard about the guy is that he's excellent. And it really is nice, the number of guys, be it guys that went to Louisville, like Jamon Brown, or others, or guys from Louisville that went elsewhere, like Rondale or like J.J. Weaver, you know, others that are still interested in having these sorts of things. It's the only way, like, I think football in this state and in the city sort of either perpetuates or gets better and grows is these sorts of investments in it. I'm glad that Rondale still feels like connected here and can do that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, the biggest thing that he wanted to take away, like, even when I spoke to him, was just, you know, continue to inspire the people in this area. Like, hey, like, because you can look at Rondale now, he's an elite athlete, right? Like, everybody can't be that type of athlete, but just body frame and composition, like, he's a regular dude. Like, if you look at him, you couldn't tell this was a fourth year professional athlete just looking at him. Like, he's not that tall, he's not overly big, and he's just super humble and super nice. Doesn't wear, like, any jewelry or anything. Like, he's just a cool dude. And then to inspire them and have his jersey and to cut on TV on Sundays and watch him play and to see the things he's been able to do is really, really cool. And he said this is something that he plans on doing forever. Like, it's something he wants to continue going as his career in the NFL continues to go, and just have the kids of the New Albany area where he's from originally to be able to be inspired by somebody like him, because there's just not a lot of professional athletes that come from New Albany. So to, like, just to give back and do things like this is something he said he wants to always be able to do.
Was there a good crowd out there for that?
Yeah, no, it was a nice size, a nice amount of people. It was funny because I was kind of trying to pitch to him. I was like, hey, Rondale, if you ever want any advertising or anything to come on a station, he's like, it's not really my thing. You know, I'll do this with you right now. So I had my phone and did a little quick 2 minutes. He was like, yeah, I'm not really, like, he's like, I kind of stay away from the spotlight, the microphones, the cameras, and just get back to work. And I think he also wants to, because he's been injured a lot since he's been in the NFL. And he's like, man, I want to be healthy and to be able to go through a full season healthy before I really try to put more stuff out there, too. So that was another thing.
I don't know how often you really hear that sort of thing from an athlete.
Yeah, exactly.
It feels like, though, like with football in particular, like you can't let your guard down like at all.
Mm-mm.
Because you in the pros, you are expendable.
Yeah.
You know, these contracts are not all that guaranteed, although that's kind of growing. But, like, it's not like the NBA or baseball where it's like the contract is what you're getting no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, these guys, they take these injuries and that sort of thing seriously. So, good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, and it was nice, and especially, like, I keep referencing it over and over again, but once again, he's just not that big of a dude. So to stay in a league like the NFL,
yeah,
for as long as you want to possible, you have to stay healthy, because like you said, his type of style of player is expendable, is replaceable in a lot of cases. And so, like, that's why I think he was putting an emphasis on the consistency, the grind, and to make sure that I'm healthy for a duration of a season, because I think it's a contract year for him too. So it's like,
yeah,
I want to be able to be healthy to be able to get that second contract and continue this pro career. So, you know, I'm looking forward to him continuing to being able to do that.
Boy, it's hard not to think when it comes to him, like, what if? Just, you know, I realize that at the time, they didn't do a great job recruiting him, and they landed Tutu, and that ultimately sort of turned out to be a pretty solid replacement for like that kind of role. But, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Knowing, like, man, there are a few that get away. A lot, most of the time, look, when a kid is from Louisville and wants to go somewhere else, I don't really begrudge them, and I don't begrudge Rondell, like, so don't mishear me. But I usually am able to make peace with it.
Yeah.
And I don't find myself like having FOMO because they go and succeed somewhere else. But with him, I did.
Yeah, it's also because, at least for me, because he played for Brom too.
Oh,
and it's like,
you know,
I think
what?
It was
That's
the combination.
Point.
It was the combination of the fact
That's
he went
point.
To Trinity. He was awesome. He was a stud. And he went to play for Brom and was a stud under Brom. You know, like All-American type of stud under Brom is what I think makes it sore. And I asked him about Brom. I was like, hey, you know, the staff that you played for at Purdue is here at Louisville. You know, what's it like there? And he's like, hey, man, I mean, it's amazing. You know, Brom's a Louisville guy. He's a Trinity guy. And it's like, man, if it wasn't for those dudes, I wouldn't be in the NFL right now. Like, he straight up said it. He's like, yo, those guys helped me get where I am right now. Like, it's not like one of those John Calipari one and done type of things. Like, no, he specifically said they helped me get to the league, because obviously for someone his size and stature, it's not the easiest to do that. But because of what he was able to accomplish at Purdue under them specifically is why he's in the league right now. And that was awesome to hear too.
I don't know how much you've really had an opportunity to dig into these guys that enrolled, you know, in January, the transfers,
okay,
that sort of thing on the football side. I think it's easy to look at Colin Lacy and think, like, okay, here's a guy that can play that role.
Yeah.
But what I don't know when it comes to Jeff Brom is, like, was what Rondale did there, is that just something that Rondale Moore was good at, or is that like a role in the offense? Because you couldn't tell last year.
Yeah.
Because no, like, there wasn't a slot guy that really took that.
Mm-mm.
And I feel like we've talked about, I don't know, quarterbacking and decision making, and we've talked about one-on-one wide receivers and tight ends and all these sorts of things. I've been kicking around just sort of in my head all day today, like, what elements that weren't in the offense a year ago, even though the offense was good enough for them to win 10 games and make it to the ACC championship game. Like, do you feel like should be the priority to sort of develop with this group of players, and do you think they've got the group and the players to do that?
Colin Lacy, probably their pitch. I mean, Colin Lacy was probably the easiest person out of all these guys to recruit for them, because that is a role in this offense,
yeah,
like a very significant role, the slot receiver. And it dates back, like, they, because Jeff Brom has been a head coach for a while, it dates back a decade now. Like, all the way back to his days at WKU, they had a guy named Nicholas Norris. These were my college reporting days. Chibo Norris was the slot receiver. And before, outside of Taywan Taylor, most people remember Taywan Taylor and Tyler Higbee because they were the NFL players.
Yeah.
Nick Norris never played in the NFL, but he's like top 10 all-time in receiving yards at WKU. Maybe top 5. Well, there's a couple of guys came through recently. But he's definitely the top 10. Because he played that slot receiver under Jeff Brom for multiple years. Then you move on to Purdue, and obviously you have Rondale Moore. David Bell played in the slot at times. And then, of course, Charlie Jones, who was nothing for Iowa and becomes an All-American out of the slot for Jeff Brohm. And so that is a spot. That's why, like, when you're pitching a guy like Colin Lacey, who had, what, 1,300 yards or whatever at South Alabama, it's an easy sell. It's like, hey, this is what I do with slot receivers. Look at their numbers and look at a lot of them are playing on Sundays now. So you can have that opportunity. You have to determine if you're going to be those guys. But let's not act like it's not the history is, you know, the proof is in the pudding. A bunch of dudes are in the NFL playing at this position for me. You can be the next one if you're able to come in here, work hard, and make it happen.
Yeah, I wanted to just – the reason I was just wanted to talk about Colin Lacey in particular, you won with Rondale Moore. Like, that's the role.
Yeah.
You know, and he's not tall. I think they look kind of similar, although I've never really seen anyone like Rondale before. We're almost square.
Yeah.
You know, just incredible, unique guy, and stronger than I think people give him credit for,
you know,
that sort of thing. But, like, I thinking about a year ago, like, I really thought, for instance, that, like, Jamari Thrash was going to be a slot guy, you know, because he's not tall. Yeah. And I don't know, maybe they wish they could have done that, but it didn't seem like they had any of the receivers they were really looking for. Because, like, you've got to have guys that can hold up on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
You got to, I mean, you have to be bigger. And Amari Huggins-Bruce ended up playing that slot role. And
Kevin Coleman a little bit.
Yeah, but Amari Huggins-Bruce never did much for me at all.
But that's and I think that was the disappointing thing. Because sure. I always thought
sure.
Amari Huggins-Bruce was going to be a guy. Like, I always thought, and you would always see, like, flashes, but he could never consistently put it together. And then Kevin Coleman, when he came in, because he was a big-time recruit out of high school, went to Jackson State, of course, played for Deion Sanders there. And so I knew of Kevin Coleman because of my time, like, being now hanging down in Jackson. And I was nervous about what happened last year. Like, I felt that coming. Because even at Jackson, Coleman he couldn't hold on to the ball often. And it was like, you should be better than you are. Like, even at Jackson. Yeah. And that's at an FCS level. That's different type of like, not to say that he didn't have flashes, but it was like, man, there's some, like, as good as you are, as good as you run routes, as talented, like, you should be better. And it just didn't pan out. And the same thing kind of happened here. I felt like he should be better than he was. It was at times you'd see him do the end around and score a touchdown here or there, but never could consistently put it together. I think in the NFL, Jamari Thrash is like the perfect slot wide receiver. Because with slot wide receivers, you can't really jam them. You have to come off and the great route runners are the guys who are typically the great slot wide receivers.
Yeah.
Either route runners
change of direction.
Yeah, run after catch type of guys.
Yep.
You either a great route runner or run after catch type of guy. And that's why I think if Thrash, like, he could have been Rondale Moore here. You know what I mean? Like, but there was no outside guy. And so you have to have your best wide receiver, or typically your best wide receiver, on the outside, especially if he's the one that can mostly create separation. He can mostly get open. Like, he is your best bet. Like, if I throw the ball towards him, he's my best bet at coming down with it. And so I need some type of high-level talent on the outside, and that's why I think he had to play out there. But I think, you know, for the Browns, he could very well move inside and be amazing with the way he's able to run around.
Yeah, the whole reason, like, I sort of went there is PFF, which you kind of got to be choosy, right?
Yeah.
With various things, but, like, PFF has been all summer. It's like the preseason material, you know. Mm-hmm. So there, it was a graphic. I think it was like the highest rated transfer according to them for every single school. Colin Lacey is Louisville's,
yeah,
and I think that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever their secret sauce is for measuring things, he's the guy. But that makes sense to me. But what I thought was funniest out of all was Clemson on there. It just said N.A. I've never seen that. Like, even – like, you got to think about this. Like, even in the old way of doing things, when you had to sit out a year and you weren't immediately eligible or
file
any
for
of that stuff.
Waivers or whatever.
Everyone took transfers every year.
Yeah.
Like, even in that system, you took
two. But yeah,
took them. It was more intentional. Mm-hmm. Like, the decision to leave was more intentional.
Mm-hmm.
The decision to take someone was more intentional because one of us is about to eat a year.
Yeah.
In order to have you here, or both of us. Like, and so you would have a whole year of anticipation and all that sort of thing.
Like,
and even then, everyone took transfers.
Yes. Like, way, way back. Like, David Padgett. Yeah. I remember when he transferred in at Edison. Like, oh, we got a 7-foot center from Kansas. Can't wait to see him play next year or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's weird because, like you said, And then even in more recent times, you could file for waivers or you could do grad transfers. So, like, those are your Damian Lees, your Trey Lewis's, guys like that. So, like you said, you should at least always take, like, you're doing yourself a disservice even then by not taking any transfers if you had some available, especially high-level talented type of ones. But to not take any in 2024, I mean, that's just basically saying I don't want to compete at the highest level. I don't want my team to be the best possible team that it could be. Like, that's what this says to me, because you're going to lose transfers every year no matter what. Like, you are. They think they lost 15 transfers. And so to not try to supplement that talent or replace that talent, you're losing transfers and guys to the NFL.
Yeah.
So your team can never be as good as it's supposed to be if you don't take any in. And, hey, sucks to suck. Go for it. You know, like, go for it. It's beneficial to us, and I'm with it. It's okay with me.
Yeah, it's weird for a million reasons. You're sort of cutting yourself off from being the best that you could possibly be, but you're also now becoming, oddly, the one guy willing to be young, right? Because, like, if you're losing guys, the only option that apparently you've opted to have is to address this is by signing recruits.
Mm-hmm.
So he's opting weirdly to sort of become the guy that plays as freshman.
Well, he told us he actually does take transfers.
Oh, Lord.
You remember? He said when they transfer from high school to college.
Oh, he's so clever. Right?
Like, Dabo. Like, dude.
He's the guy that, like, in the sermon, he makes, like, pop culture references that don't really fit, like, at all. He's that guy. Like, in, like, the Lord's name, image, and likeness.
Oh, my God.
You know? Like, that sort of, like, it's... like, he... forcibly makes me roll my eyes.
Absolutely.
Like, against my will. Yes. They roll themselves out of just indignation. You have to win a lot to be like that.
Oh, yeah.
And it not make people crazy.
But it will eventually.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, the thing is, like, he's got one more 8-4 season, I think. I think this year, when they go 8-4, because, once again, it's not like the bottom is completely falling out. They're just not what they were. 11-1, 12-0, competing for national championships. It's just not that anymore. And the thing about their base is that they know they can't be that anymore. With the way that they're operating, they know they can't compete with the Alabamas, with the Georgias, with the Ohio States, all the top schools operating the way that they operate. So it's not only that we're not there anymore. I know, as a Clemson fan, that we can't get there anymore, and that's gotta suck. It's gotta suck because you know that you have the ability. Transfers would want to go to Clemson.
You think?
I think so.
Yeah, I would think so
too. Yeah, I mean, recruits still go. That's the thing. Like, you would think it would slow down recruiting a little bit, but the recruiting is still top notch.
Yeah,
and so it's partly because they know they're gonna play. He doesn't have any other choices. But it's another thing. Like, transfers, I think, would still go to Clemson because they could be right back at the top of college football. I think. Right now.
They ought to be.
Yes.
If Dabo was smart, they would be the filter that catches SEC castoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it would be just an easy role for them to play. It would be an easy sell. We're basically like the Wish SEC team.
Yeah.
Come on down. You know what I mean? They have a track record. They've had success.
They've got championships.
They put guys in the league.
In the league.
At the lines. Like, all, like, quarterbacks, all that stuff. Like, you've got it.
Yes.
And he chooses abstinence instead.
I mean, instead the SEC cast offs. Yeah,
I did.
I like that. I like that a lot. But instead, he just wants to. He'll allow Florida State to be that school. You know, he'll allow Louisville to get some of those guys. He'll allow Miami or whoever. Yeah. Like, hey, that's why I said keep doing it, Dabo. Like, keep on, because soon enough, like, I think the only. See, here's the thing, just about Louisville. This is just how I feel. We're taking transfers. I think we, and I've said this before, we have to, if we want to take the next step, improve your high school recruiting.
Yeah, Louisville's sort of going the opposite direction, right? Yeah.
Yeah, you have to improve your high school recruiting in order, because I think you're on the borderline. You're in this kind of, like, I'm not going to call it weird space, but you're in this space where you're, like, chucking along, and it's like a glass ceiling. But in order to break that glass ceiling, you're going to up the ante on the high school side of things. and then and continue to do what you do in the transfer portal. And I think that's going to be the perfect marriage to be able to compete at that level. But until you do that, I don't think you'll be able to compete with them either. I think you're in better position than Clemson, though, because you are willing to adapt. Your coaches have shown that they're willing to change with the times, whether it's NIL, transfer portal, whatever. We're going to do everything in our power to continue to climb up the rankings. Whereas Clemson, they're cutting off their nose to spite their face with all the new changes in college football. Because I think Dabo also was kind of iffy on NIL, too. And so it's like, you know, if you want to continue to act like this is 2015, go right ahead. But it's 2024. And teams are going to lap you, and they're going to pass you, and there's no way for you to catch up if you continue to play old school ball when we're all playing new school ball.
Yeah, and I think there's a couple of interesting little storylines in that way. Like, if you're Clemson, I would think there's an extra bit of pressure on you because you're suing, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're Clemson and Florida State, you're suing because you feel like we've outgrown this,
yes,
right?
This,
like,
the conference is holding
you
back.
We're too good for this. This isn't fair to us. You know, gosh, nobody at Clemson says the obnoxious things that FSU
they don't,
does.
But they're in the same boat.
That, but they're thinking that. Mm-hmm. You know, there was an FSU board of trustees member basically was like, "We're underpaid," is what he said about the revenue and all that sort of thing. I'm sort of like, you're worth what people will pay you.
That's the thing.
But anyway.
Because if FSU was a free agent right now, nobody would sign them. Like, or if they signed them, it would be like an SMU deal.
I don't know that they could get better than they're getting right now.
They can't.
Right.
They can't because it doesn't. You don't move the needle enough. Like, you solely don't move the needle enough because, one, you're not as good as you think you are. Let's put that out there. I mean, granted, all your guys opted out of the bowl game against Georgia, but you were still down, 42-0 at halftime? Like, all your guys did opt out. I'm not going to say they didn't. But you're down 42-0. Louisville could complete a pass, and you only scored 13 points on us to win the ACC championship game. Like, and now you brought at all the transfer quarterbacks. You brought in DJU. I mean, it's not like he's a world beater. Like, you brought in some good, but like, come on. Like, so you're not as good as you think you are. And if you were a free agent, say if you miraculously were able to get out of the ACC, would you get a bid to the SEC? Maybe. But it wouldn't be for the 100%, like the $100 million that all the other schools get. Hell, now, if it's up to that, like, hey, we want to come, but we want that $100 million, I promise you the rest of the SEC schools will be like, hell no. Like, yeah, it's not happening. So, therefore, getting the $50 million from the ACC is probably the best you're going to get because you're not getting that from the Big 12. There's no Pac-12, and the Big 10 doesn't want you. Simple. It's pretty simple. And the same could be said for Clemson as well.
It is funny, generally speaking, to think about those two and, like, all of the actions that have happened, all of the additions that have been made.
Yeah.
And they never get the call.
No.
But that sort of doesn't seem to have settled in there very much.
Yeah, they don't get it. They don't get it.
Football cannot get here soon enough.
No, it cannot.
Especially because, you know, I thought last year – the preseason talk about Louisville was appropriately optimistic. You know, that people looked in particular at the schedule. It was the combination of the schedule and the players in particular on defense, and then kind of the general feeling of Brohm will make the offense good. And in a weird way, he did. Just not like we expected. But there were a lot of people like, hey, you should watch out for them. And this year, I think the assessment of them is actually higher than last year. Like, people, they're quasi top 25, and yet no one's talking about them as like a contender. And I'm fine with it.
I am too.
I think some of that is the way the year ended.
Yes. I think that's a big reason. Yep.
And no matter how much things change, having a quarterback that everyone knows and feels really good about is still probably like the number one way to have good pub in the offseason.
Number one.
Right?
Easily. Like, that's why Miami keeps getting love. Miami, Colorado, all of them. And it's because you're bringing in a seventh-year quarterback. Just that alone is going to get you love, having a seventh-year quarterback. You add the fact that your seventh-year quarterback hasn't finished a year in 4 years. Like, the last 3 years, he just hasn't been on the field because of injuries. Now you're at double negatives, right? Like, now you're – like, the negative was having a seventh-year quarterback. The double negative is the fact that he's – let's just call it what it is, injury prone. And so you're not going to get whatever you feel like you deserve because of those things.
Well, look, we got a lot that we will get into here throughout the day. One of those texture says EA wants you to watch out for Colorado. Yeah, we're going to have to talk about the trolls that are in charge of the ratings for the upcoming EA Sports game because they've sort of they outed themselves. Like, I don't know how else to explain it than that. But for a video game, I think we all take it as having some kind of a, especially now, there's all of this effort put in to have at least a little bit of correspondence with reality, and then they do some of the stuff they did with these ratings. So we'll take a quick break here. We'll come back, open up the phones. We'll do a classic open line Friday, whatever's on your mind. We will do sort of a buffet here. This is the trough of the sports calendar here. We're post-NBA draft, post-NBA finals. We got a couple weeks till they're practicing. July 31st.
Don't forget about the NHL finals.
We're post-NHL finals as well. Yeah. The advocate that you are, we appreciate that. Hey, we talked about it, too.
We did.
I know. I appreciate it. Because, yeah. I liked it. You guys talked more about it.
Did Dino Blankenbaker talk about it? I bet they didn't.
Yeah. Well, he went.
Yeah, so no, Dino did go.
That doesn't mean they talked about it.
Yeah. But, yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break here. I want to talk about these ratings and why I care and why I don't and what I think the issues are. So we'll do all of that. We'll take your calls, your texts, your throughout, whatever's on your pretty little hearts here on a Friday on the drive on a Tenderville. Be right back.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
You're listening to The Drive, presented by Fitness Market, right here on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Mark Ennis and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome back into The Drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis, Jeff Lightsey Jr., 8150. 93.9 is the number if you'd like to get in here on a Friday, whatever it is that's on your minds. I'm not going to restrict it. You know, sometimes I scold people and I'm like, we haven't talked about that at all. Why are you calling me and want to talk about that? I feel like it makes me feel like you're not listening. But today, I don't care.
Yeah.
You got questions. You got thoughts about whatever it might be. I'm all ears. I'm all ears for it. It's the summer, right?
Yeah, it is.
Grab bag it a little bit. Yeah. I mean, I know you were in this morning for Drew as well. Like, what percentage of that show was buttoned up sports talk? Half?
Yeah, maybe. It was really just, like I said, political takes, barbershop talk. We've talked about barbershops for a long time, too. That was the big thing.
Can't help you.
Yeah, like it was, because Blank said he got a haircut. I was like, how often do you get haircuts? And it just dived down the rabbit hole. He was like, how often do you go? I was like, probably like every week, every 10 days. He was like, you go every week? And it just went from there.
We do not have a proper appreciation for that element.
Yeah,
of culture. Yeah. I know. Tino that I don't
barber.
Know.
Yeah, Tino the barber had to call in and let Blank know. Yeah, you got to go weekly. Yes. Like, if you have hair like Jeff, you got to go weekly.
Men and women, both. Like, it's equal pressures there to make. Like, you've got to be
well groomed. Oh yes. Yeah, you got to be well groomed, man. Nah, yeah, you can't. Yeah, hygiene number one. Yeah. That's number one.
Yeah,
and then your grooming is up there. It's definitely up there. So yeah, keep yourself together. Keep yourself together, man. Ladies and gentlemen out there, keep yourself together. It's hot, too, so make sure that hygiene is right.
That's good advice regardless. Keep yourself together. Yeah. I agree. 8150-939, again, that's the number if you want to get in here. So EA Sports, they've been They've been rolling out the rankings for the college football game. We've had the stadiums, overall offenses and defenses.
Yes.
And now the overall team rankings. And, you know, we talked about this just a little bit. Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it?
Some yesterday.
Briefly,
well.
Yeah.
Yesterday. We talked about the defense yesterday.
Yeah. The NCAA football game and video games, period. There's only so much that you can do to make a video game kind of correspond to reality, right? Like, there are limitations. But we want those, too, because I want to be able to dominate the game. So I don't want, you know what I mean? I'm not trying to spend hours playing this game to go 7-5 every year. That's not fun. That's not what I'm trying to do. I want it to be, this is just me. Maybe you're into that.
That's how you build character.
Yeah, I'm not trying to build any character.
This is
a
game.
Dominate.
I build character.
My
life
is filled with character building. Yeah. I want some time off. Exactly. I want to own, right, when I play the game, right?
Exactly. I didn't spend $100 or whatever it costs.
I'm paying for this.
To build character.
I don't want to learn any lessons from here. I want the game to be just realistic enough that I can fool myself into, like, this is a real accomplishment. When I play, right? Like, that's where I'm at. I want it to feel be a reasonable facsimile of actually dominating without the risk of not actually dominating.
I love the way you put that. Everybody. It's not just you. It's everybody.
So I'm looking at these the overall team rankings. No shock to anyone. Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, Oregon 3, Alabama 4, Texas 5. Then it gets weird to me.
I haven't seen these, you're telling me this for the first time.
So Georgia's number one, and we'll get to Bobby in just a second. 95 overall. Ohio State, number two, 93 overall. Oregon, 93 overall, third. Alabama, fourth, 92 overall. Texas, fifth at 92 overall. All of that makes sense to me.
It does.
I would have thought maybe Oregon a little lower because it's different quarterback, although it's an experienced quarterback.
He's a good one, though.
When everyone else is pretty much bringing back their guys.
Yeah, I thought Texas may be higher, even though they're in the top five. But I thought they might be maybe higher.
Same. And Jalen Milroe in a different offense, I don't know how that might work or not. He's not Michael Penix.
No, he's not.
But
people are optimistic by the end of the way the end of last year ended, even though they lost in the playoff game, the fact that he was able to get them there and they beat Georgia, it makes people feel optimistic about what he could look like in a Kalen DeBoer type of offense. But he's not Michael Penix, you're right.
This is where it starts to get weird.
Uh-oh.
Number six is Clemson. And I don't know anyone who thinks Clemson is the number six team in the country at 90 overall.
Yeah.
And it's not the most egregious error in these top 25s, but Clemson at six is the first example of what I think the big problem is that I don't know that there's a really good answer for. And it's one of those things I think you're just going to have to be aware of when you get the game. But let's not make Bob wait any longer. Whatever is on your mind here, Bob, welcome into the Drive on Thunderville. What's up?
Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Happy upcoming weekend.
You know it.
Hey, yeah. I'm just calling about U of L football. I guess a few things that I've read is that Louisville's current recruiting class of high school players is ranked number 62. And there's been some people that have, complained about it, that we need to do more. And I look at it this way. Louisville has never gotten super great classes. I mean, we celebrated when we got like a 40th ranked class over the years, but where Brom has fit in and where I think he knows what he needs to do to make Louisville continually successful in a winning program is to get your top or get your recruits, and they're basically this year's class is what, 3-star ranked. Get them and develop them into good players like Ashton Gelati. He was a 3-star. But while you're doing that, go out and use the transfer portal, which he has done a great exemplary job of doing. And I think at least over the next few years until Louisville gets, a few years of really good rankings or really good teams under their belt, then you can start getting some of those players. And I tell you what, I have confidence in Brahman doing that. We'll see how it goes this year. And another thing that I would love to see is beat Dabo and his Clemson Tigers. Mm-hmm. And you can go and say, hey, we did it. You know, we did it the way we need to be successful. And Dabo, you can go, you know, scream at the reporters and the media about, you know, how horrible they are, and his team is so good. But anyway, that's what I wanted to talk about or say. And, you know, interested in any more comments you all had.
Yep. Appreciate it, Bob. Thanks so much. Look, Jeff, this is even folks that I know that are, you know, dyed in the wool, you know, implicit faith in Jeff Brohm, are looking at the high school recruiting class and thinking, like, I do wish they had more to show.
Mm-hmm.
In particular for last year, and as I think you and I talked about this a little earlier this week, you know, when he got Rondale Moore and George Karloftis and some others at Purdue, that the high school recruiting would at least pick up a notch from Scott Satterfield, and it feels, I just trust it more, even if the numbers look similar.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to Jeff,
or worse, in like between Satterfield's last year, like right before he left, like he had big time guy signed before he left.
Well, committed.
Committed. My bad.
I really do. It's one of the great like all time unknowns. Like I do wonder how that class would have landed. Like I don't. Would they have made it to the finish line with all those guys?
Reuben Owen would have. Pierce obviously would have.
DeAndre Moore.
Don't know if DeAndre Moore does. I think when Texas comes in, I don't, because there's no way you commit to play for Sat in that offense over a Jeff Brohm in his offense.
Yeah.
So like, I think DeAndre Moore,
I'm cool with, but.
Yeah.
I really like fly sweeps.
Yeah, exactly.
I had my heart set on some fly sweeps.
Yeah, no, not at all. So, like, I think DeAndre Moore, you never get him.
Yeah.
But I think you do get Owens and Pierce, of course. But, yeah, those are the two I think you do get versus at a. Let's say the big four, because Stanquan Clark was a part of that as well.
Yeah.
And Stanquan, I think, he's an iffy, but I think he probably stays. Pierce stays, Moore you lose, and then Owen stays. So you get three out of the four. Instead, you got two out of the four. So that, just from those big four.
I wonder, and this is one of those things that I think people just coaches don't talk about because they don't really love it being brought up. But I do wonder how much – ACC uncertainty is a factor in this.
Yeah.
You know, and it being framed like you don't want to go to any of those places, you know, because who knows what that is even going to be like.
If you have other options.
Yes.
If you have,
and of course, it pisses me off to no end that this is a thing that's being as negative recruiting, because, like, can we ever get away from this? Because it's the same thing with the Big East.
Yeah.
And it's like, can this ever, ever stop?
That is interesting, because I never thought about that. Because I just, whether it's naively or what, it's just like, the ACC isn't going anywhere until it does. You know, like until someone gets one of these loopholes.
I think you felt like early on you could exhale a little bit.
Yeah. And I guess the only thing is I still feel kind of this way until there's a crack in the armor, a chink in the armor, or a crack in the concrete. Like, I still feel pretty good, because as hard as Florida State is trying, they still haven't been able to find a way out. And so, therefore, I feel like the conference is pretty tight. Like, one, their grant of rights is still another, 14 years or whatever. And if anybody was going to find a way out with all the lawyers and all the money that Florida State is putting into it, that's why I haven't felt that. But that is a good point, because, you know, everything is used in recruiting. And that is definitely being used in recruiting. I think when it comes to the reason why people are pointing towards Brohm's high school recruiting number or the lack of it or whatever, is because you expect him to be the guy to take Louisville to new heights.
Yeah.
Like if he was just any run-of-the-mill coach, you didn't think that highly of him, you wouldn't care. Like, you'd just be like, okay, like, you never knew what whoever's recruiting ranking was, and Louisville football was Louisville football, whatever version of it that was. But if you think Louisville football is going to compete for ACC championships under Brohm and compete for playoff spots under Brohm, you understand traditionally that a high school recruiting ranking it can't be in the 60s.
Yeah.
Not to say it has to be in the teens or the 20s. It's got to be like in the top 35, like top 35, like top 40, top 35. If you want with in conjunction with your transfer portal class, but if you want to be a perennial ACC title contender, be a perennial top 12 college football playoff contender. And that's why I think it's like, we think this, and it's all, like I said, with, you know, with pressure, like it's a responsibility of them. It's them thinking highly of Brohm, thinking that he can take them or take this program to a place it's never been. But when you see that high school recruiting number in the back of your brain, whether you want to admit it or not, you're like, we're in the 60s. Alabama's is in the 10s. We're in the 60s. Clemson is even in the teens. If we want to be able to line up on the field against them, that number's got to go up. It's got to be closer to the Clemson and less closer to, like, I don't know, Northwestern or whoever you're around right now.
Yeah, I don't think that Louisville has to become like a top 25 recruiter.
No.
On an annual basis. But if they could be where you were talking about, sort of within striking distance of it, occasionally maybe jump up here and there.
Yeah.
But I think with the way things are right now, you're always going to lean more on transfers for, I think, some impact guys right away. What I would just like to see, and this I think is doable, is for them to reach this level that we're talking about with quarterbacks and wide receivers. Like, if you could just, surely in time here, you can get bona fide 4- and 5-star guys who want to go here and play for Jeff Brohm in this offense. Because I feel like every position is not created exactly equal.
No, that is a truth.
And there's nothing better for a program than to have an elite quarterbacks and wide receivers. And I know this line of scrimmage league and all that stuff, but when you have an awesome quarterback and wide receivers, you can sort of work around a lot.
Absolutely.
And that is the one place I really would like to feel like they can make some progress.
Yeah, and just to,
without trying to become a recruiting program that they're not.
Yeah, and or that maybe you just can't be. Like
yeah.
There's no evidence to show us that Louisville can be a perennial top 15 recruiting class every year. Like, there's nothing in the history of our football program that says that can happen. And quite frankly, out of those top 15 spots, 12 of them are SEC, right? Like, or 10 of them, right? And the other 5 being Big Ten, now that the Big Ten's added so many schools. So it's like 10 SEC, 5 Big Ten. So there's no, like, there's nothing that shows, or in Notre Dame in there.
Yeah.
So there's nothing that tells you that you can even be that. Like, your football budget, like, your revenue doesn't even exceed your basketball revenue, even in a bad year. Like, so that's not, once again, it's not knocking anything, but when those SEC schools or those, you know, Big Ten schools, football revenue doubles and quadruple, you know, doubles and triple yours, that's why it's easier for them to get those guys, because they have a lot more money to spend to get those guys.
And that matters now.
It does, a lot. Yeah. It matters a whole lot. And so that's why that's why I didn't say top 25, I said top 40. Top 35, top 40, because you have to get yours a different kind of way. Just like how a lot of those schools can't compete with you on basketball, like, it's the same thing. And so, therefore, you have to get creative, and you have to be able to maneuver in different kind of ways, but that number does have to get better if you want to inch closer to them on a consistent basis.
Let's get back to the phones here. Lawrence, welcome into the drive, buddy. Lawrence, first of all, tell everybody how you're doing, man.
I'm doing okay. Even though yesterday I was kind of woozy after I got off the chemo, as seemed to happen when you do more stronger chemo. Like, they haven't gave me like the strongest part yet, because they're still waiting for my blood pressure to go down. But when that goes down, they give me that chemo, I'm really gonna be really woozy taking that one. So I'm just hanging in there and doing what the doctors tell me to do, just taking all these pills and trying to get better.
Well, but keep us updated, Lawrence. Everyone's thinking about you, praying for you, buddy.
But I just want to talk about what Jeff was going on about this whole recruiting situation.
Sure.
The best way for Louisville recruiting to get better, Louisville got to win in Death Valley. They can't be losing in no Death Valley. And plus, they got going there right too. I feel where Jeff's coming from, where it comes to the recruiting, the high school rankings, getting players, I think we have a great quarterback on the squad right now, but he's not ready to be a great quarterback. I think Kirk Carson is going to be that type of quarterback who can probably win a Heisman Jeff Grimes offense. Because if Louisville have a great season this year, or they're beating Clemson, maybe beating Florida State in the ACC championship game, because it's a possibility. This is maybe the last year you see Clemson and Florida State in the ACC. And if Louisville can overcome them, you talking about Louisville being a whole different class. So if they leave, the Louisville going to be probably the favorite to win the ACC every year if Florida State, Clemson leaves. And I don't want people to say, like, oh, the only reason why y'all winning this conference is because they ain't got no good teams in there. No, I think this year's conference is going to be way better. Louisville just got to go after and win convincingly. And not happen what happened at the end of the season where they're getting their butt handed to them. So that's all what we got to do this year, just win convincingly, and not give up at the end of the season. And don't lose no Kentucky in the Bluegrass State. All what we got to do is win, and everything will take care of itself.
Lawrence, thanks for giving us a call, buddy. We are glad that you are fighting. We're fighting there with you. One text into the UPS shop text line immediately. Tell Lawrence we love him. He knows, but we don't. We're not going to get tired of telling him that. Look, punching through with Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to make goals going into last year, I think you weren't going to face them, so that wouldn't have been on there. But making it to Charlotte,
yes,
beating Kentucky, like those were the goals. Maybe not even goals, but like the things that would have meant the most to people. And you were able to accomplish that, making it to Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
1A, 1B is beating Kentucky, beating Clemson.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, I can't think of anything that comes close to that.
I mean, that's it. Like, that's literally it. I think going to Notre Dame and winning at Notre Dame would be fun. But we've done that
again.
Before. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but we've done that before. And that's not to – trust me. It's not to say I don't want to go up there and do it again. Like,
yeah, oh, we can make it a regular thing.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Abso-freaking-lutely. But the things that, like, what do you want? Give me a win over Clemson, and I have to have a win over Kentucky. I can't lose to them. I need to beat Clemson. I want to beat them. I want to get that monkey off my back. I can't lose to Kentucky again. Like, I can't lose 6 years in a row to Kentucky. Like, that just can't happen. And so, though, like, when you say set the goals, those are the goals. One is a must. Like, the Kentucky thing is a must. Like, I can't keep
losing. Like, for our sanity.
Yeah. Like
we need this.
Yeah, because even they think Brahm is better than Soups. Like, believe that.
That's right.
But we can't keep losing to them. Like, I can't have them thinking our coach is better, but our coach can't beat him. Like, that doesn't make sense. You know, that doesn't make any sense. It kind of messes up our brains. And so, therefore, I have to, like, that must happen, and I need to get over losing to Clemson. Like, that needs to happen, especially while they don't have modern college football figured out. Like, that makes it even that much more, because if they ever come to their senses, and I can't beat them now, and then say if they come to their senses and finally start taking transfers and messing with the NIL stuff, then my chances become even more slim. If they ever do figure that out.
Let's get Zach in here. Next, Zach, welcome into the Dry Boat. What's up?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, buddy.
What's happening?
Hey. So I got a question. There's a group of us. We usually do a football road trip. What road game are you all most excited for this year and think we should go to? And then another hypothetical question. I know the ACC basketball schedule isn't released yet, but which ACC basketball road game do you think would be the most fun to go to?
Yeah, appreciate the call there. This is a good question for this year's schedule. It's real easy to say Clemson.
Yeah.
Because it's one of the – and I've not even been – but every person that I know is like, look, it's a hassle getting in there. It's an impossible hassle getting out of there. But it's one of the things where you're like, this is exactly what college football is sort of supposed to be like.
Mm-hmm.
They're nuts. It's energetic. It's good football.
Dabo runs down a hill.
He doesn't fall most of the time.
Hey, I've never seen him fall. It's going to happen once. I need to see
just
that.
Once. Maybe that's what we should do for president from now on. You got to be able to run down the hill at Clemson. Yeah. If you can't do that, you can't be president. You just clear out everybody, right?
Literally. Like, you want to get back to modern-day young politics?
Yes.
Have them run down the Clemson Hill.
I like this.
I guess Andy Beshear is going to be president now at this point.
Every president can be between 35 and 40.
Exactly.
Like that little tiny little window. Eligibility.
It's literally it, because the guys like Biden, Trump, McConnell, all these guys are out. See you later. Either that or a woman. Like, a woman's going to be. Yeah, what are the AOC?
Really can run down that hill.
Oh, you don't think AOC can run down that hill? And AOC and all them? No, yeah. So, the Clemson thing is easy for the football road trip. That's an easy one. The Notre Dame one would be cool, too. I think that's not.
If you have, yeah.
If it's ACC, I don't know if you
If you
that.
Haven't done the Notre Dame trip,
mm-hmm.
it's unique in its own way.
Yeah.
Which is a redundant thing to say, but, like, it's unique and different from Clemson. I would not say, and I think most people who've made those trips will tell, like, it's not nuts.
I can't believe
it. Like,
I can see that.
Clemson is, or like Florida is, or Florida State, where it's sort of frantic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very, Notre Dame is very ceremonious.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you feel almost like you've gone back in time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I can see that.
You know, when we were there,
what year did you go? Okay.
The first year Louisville went up there as a member of the ACC, it was 2014.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That one.
The Reggie Bonifon year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. It was incredibly fun. It was senior day, so they did the marshmallow fight in the stands. They mm-hmm. do that, and the student section mm-hmm. does. When you have your credential, visitor's credential, it's temporary. You know, you've been places where mm-hmm. you can tell the difference mm-hmm. between the season one. And everyone who works there, in any capacity, if they see you with the visiting one, like, they greet you and they're like, welcome.
Oh, wow.
You know, and all the stuff from Rudy and all, like, all this, you know, Roman Catholic imagery is, like, all over the place, and you just sort of feel like you get enveloped by the whole thing. And so it's its own kind of really, really cool. It's not crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's plenty loud, but it's not, like, frantic. Yeah, like the places you're thinking of.
Like you said, it's a different scenery for college football.
Yeah, instead of it being like it scrambles your brain, you know, it's more like you feel the weight of just a lot more of, like, this is something else, something different, and I think you can let it get to your head at times, for sure, but it's just different.
It's a different type of an environment than a typical college football Saturday.
Yes.
Is what it sounds like.
So if you haven't made that trip, I would make it.
Yeah.
I would pick that.
What about basketball? ACC basketball, road tripping, what you thinking?
That's a good question.
An underrated one, and this is just me, an underrated because they're new to the conference, and it's still probably weird to hear them in the I bet it would be SMU. I bet that's an underrated. Underrated because, one, I think they're going to have a sneaky good team. Two, it's in Dallas. Dallas is awesome. If you've never been to Dallas, it's very, very cool. And three, like, I think because they're in the conference, they're new, they're coming from a smaller conference, SMU's loaded. Yeah. And so their facilities and things are top notch. As someone, I went to SMU for the Armed Forces Bowl in 2019 when WKU was there. They played in that bowl game. And I went and saw their facilities and stuff. Top notch. Top notch. And they just got $159 million in donations.
Yeah, Luke talks about the 2014 game there.
Mm-hmm.
For that one year in the AAC,
yes,
right?
When they
played there. And he said it was the foulest place they've played in terms of, like, the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
That they were nuts.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So you might be onto something there. And that's kind of a little off the beaten path there for sure. Mm-hmm. All right. Our number one here in the books. We'll come back. We'll continue on with this. We got more. I didn't even showed you the worst of the team ratings.
No, we haven't got there yet.
So we'll continue on with that on the other side here on the Drive on 9th and the Ville. Be right back.